Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
After the hour, thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Nick Vargas is here, folks. Nikolai Vargas is Vice President of Client Services and Technology, Chief Technology Officer at a company called SwitchFast, and he has a CISSP certification, which is as high as it gets in the world of technology and security, in the information security systems. And he's here to talk to us about something that we've not really talked about much on the show before, but we need to know more about it because it is part, more than likely, it's part of all of our lives to some degree. It impacts us at some point in time. Nick Vargas, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Happy to be here.
It's good to have you here. So let's talk about the dark web and the deep web. Now, Pretty much everybody who hasn't been living under a rock has heard of the dark web. We know that the people go there to learn how to make bombs. Terrorists hang out there. Mostly bad guys hang out there. People go there because of the way it's indexed. I want you to explain that to us. Tell us what the dark web is, why it is the dark web, how they make that happen, and how it's and its connection to the other thing, the deep web.
Yeah, so the dark web is basically a black market for information, how-tos, like you said, things that, you know, are generally bad or frowned upon. And to get to it, you need to go on the deep web. And that's not just typing log into deep web and Google.
Right.
You're going to need some special software. Tor will bounce you through various routers around the world to anonymize the traffic. You're most likely going to need to have gained some credentials somehow in order to gain access to a lot of these sites where on the deep web.
Those would be ignominious credentials, by the way, folks. Right. Right, Nick. Those aren't the kind of credentials your grandmother wants you to have. So when an indexing bot like Google uses, when it goes out across the web, across the internet, our websites are right out there in the open, available to anybody. We basically just say, you know, the door's unlocked, come on in. The spider comes in, indexes the heck out of us, and reports back, and we have the marketplace that we know about. But when the bots go out and they come to what might be a dark web passage or a deep web passage, those bots aren't armed with the kind of capability to get into the deep web, are they? Any more than
Correct.
We are.
Yeah,
any more than we are without the technology.
Right. They stay off the grid and unindexed so that, you know, that information, you know, can be sold and they can make a profit on it. And also so that the law enforcement officials around the world, you know, have to jump through a few more hoops to determine what's been exposed and track it back to the criminals.
But that's a little bit of, you could almost say those are the values. We could be seeing the values of Google, for example, for not indexing, because they could do that. I mean, if they wanted to, they got enough money, they're smart enough. If they wanted to, they could index part of the dark web, deep web, and they could serve it up to us when we search for something. It could be one of the offerings that they give us if they wanted to. So by holding it off, by not making that available to us, you could kind of say that's part of their values, wouldn't you, where they say, you know what, we're assuming you don't want that.
Yeah, by, you know, not trying to penetrate those levels of access, then, you know, you're limiting the audience for that stolen information.
Right, yeah. Right. So, all right, why do we need to know about the dark web and the deep web?
Well, you know, there's increasing tactics where, you know, hackers are going after small businesses because the small businesses often don't have the budget or don't put right. the forethought into protecting their networks with good cybersecurity. They don't train their people well enough to avoid falling victim to phishing scams and so forth.
And this is where the phishing guys, the bad guys, the cyber criminals, they hang out in the deep web and the dark web, don't they? That's the rat hole they run back into when they're through with us.
Right. There's really two ways to nowadays to monetize your hacking. One is the ransomware. You lock up the data and you hold the key as the hacker, and then you threaten to never give the key back or to purge the data if you're not paid, you know, hundreds to right. thousands of dollars in Bitcoin.
Right.
Those are the ransomware attacks you see make the news, and that's a very profitable way of doing it. The other way of doing it, where you can get multiples of that money into the millions of dollars, is to not necessarily expose yourself that you're on a network as a hacker, to gather information and to then siphon that off, to hit as many targets as you can with a phishing scam, and to then aggregate all that data, collect it all, and then put it on the black market for, you know, a dollar, a credit card number, or $5, a social security number, things like right. this, so that identity theft and financial crimes can occur.
That's what I meant a minute ago when I said more than likely many there are probably people listening right now, maybe any one of us is known to the dark web already, right? Because of some of the credit company, credit reporting company, which one was it? I forget which one it was that got breached, and so a bunch of our stuff got out there. Any of the others where our social security numbers and our – so there's a good chance that millions of Americans are already known to the dark web, isn't it?
Yeah, and we're starting to see that synergy between, you know, cybersecurity and identity theft in, you know, mergers and acquisitions like Symantec. You know, that name is likely familiar to a lot of your right. listeners. You know, back in the 90s and early 2000s, pretty much right. everybody on their computer either had Symantec antivirus right. or McAfee antivirus.
Right.
And they recently acquired LifeLock, and LifeLock is incorporating some dark web monitoring.
So that's the combination of those two. We're going to talk about this some more, folks, with Nick Vargas. He's with SwitchFast. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.